Okay, here we go. Episode 79 on the podcast. This week, we sat down with Logan Turner and Chris Ryan of the band Bear. These guys are really fun. Actually, really fun talking with these guys. Great musicians, signed with Warner Music Nashville. They just released a brand new music video for their song Key to Life, which is out now. Go YouTube this. I was actually on set when they were recording this in a storage warehouse facility, opening gates and just putting these amazing scenes together inside a storage warehouse unit or facility. I don't know what you call these things. Watch the video. You'll get what I'm talking about. Their EP, their brand new EP, pronounced Bear, is coming out September 3rd, so be on the lookout for that. These guys have a lot going on, let me tell you. A lot going on here. We get the scoop right here. Here we go. Bear, Logan Turner, Chris Ryan, episode 79. Let's dive in.
Should we hear a song first? Should we play something?
We can rock out.
I think
want.
Let's play something.
Let's do it. Fuck yeah.
Let's play something. How are we going to do this?
I mean, I don't know. I think, have you ever done this before?
No, we've never done this. There's a lot of first times on here. You've never been on a podcast before. This is your first podcast.
We actually never played these instruments before either. So.
Okay.
This will be.
What are we gonna play?
I guess we'll just play the song that's coming out Friday. It's called Key to Life.
You know something? So I actually got sent like a pre-listen to this. So I've heard the EP and I listened to it all the way through.
Yeah.
And Key to Life was actually I thought the whole thing was really great.
Thanks, man.
This thing is a really fun EP with a really cool sound. And I love how much the banjo is present. There's lead banjo all over this. Most of the time you're kind of hearing the banjo in the back. But you're leading with the banjo, and Key to Life was actually one of the songs that kind of caught my attention. I swear to God, that might be my favorite song. First listen through of the sixth. So this is coming out this Friday. It'll already be out by the time people listen to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Key to Life. I'm gonna hold the microphone on this Breedlove guitar. What's your name, guitar player?
I'm Alex.
Alex is the best looking member of Bear. I don't even know if he's an official member, but I'm gonna hold
I
the
just
microphone.
Got a hat, so I think so.
I'm gonna hold the microphone to his guitar. It's not weird. And we're gonna play Key to Life.
Yeah.
Key to Life. Here we go. Let's do it.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Great form. Move to a new town, didn't make a penny for the better part of 2+ years. Got through somehow, losing to your winning, and I ended up standing here. Wake up one day, look back, can't say you knew it when you started out. Me and my lady luck, riding in my old truck, got me to the here and now. Let's go! The key to life ain't opening the lock to a bag full of money. Key to life ain't under the mat to some grain of grass on it. It's the simple things like you and me. Eastbound down, no place to be. Just driving around, turning that key to life. It ain't all worked out, but everything'll be alright. Just living that dream, yeah, turning that key to life. It's living in your iced tea, homemade ice cream, cold a beer, close to friends. It's a good back porch and a 4x4 and a summer that's slow to end. It's amazing grace when you think it ain't coming along. Yeah. It's a second wind when you thought that breeze was gone. But come on. The key to life ain't opening the lock to a bag full of money. Key to life ain't under the mat to some greener grass on it. It's the simple things like you and me. Eastbound down, no place to be. Just driving around, turning that key to life. Yeah, we drank too much, but everything'll be alright. Just living that dream, yeah, turning that key to life. Wide open, gone, some stay forever closed. I may not know it all. One thing I know is the key to life ain't opening the lock to a bag full of money. The key to life ain't under the mat to some greener grass on it. It's the simple things like you and me. Eastbound down, no place to be. Just driving around, turning that key to life. It ain't all worked out, but everything will be alright. And just living that dream, yeah, turning that key to life.
Oh my God.
There you go.
By the way, guitar player, Alex had some shreddy moments there. I don't know this is. Let me ask you, is that what's on the recording, or were you kind of improvising, or were you learning someone else's solo? Like, you were really, you were shredding there for a little bit.
That's on the recording.
That's on the recording. You learned the part.
Chris actually played that on the recording.
Yeah.
Did you?
Fuck no, I suck at guitar, dude.
Who played the guitar?
Shit, who was it?
I don't know.
I don't even know either.
Logan, talk to me for a second, because I'm obsessed with the banjo. Dude. Is this your primary instrument, the banjo?
I would say guitar is probably my primary instrument in terms of like playing. I was a guitar player first, but I kind of picked... I mean, in this band, yeah, banjo is definitely my primary instrument, for sure.
Was that to kind of stand out a little bit? Were you like, how do we... Like, what's the thing that we could do that's a little different than your banjo?
I don't know that it was that thought out. I think, like, we... wrote this song called Again, which is like one of the songs that we have out. And I think we were at my house in Sylvan Park, like 2-3 years ago. And we wrote that song. And then I was like, shit, my wife had like just gotten me this like for the Christmas before. So this is like the banjo my wife got me. And now I've like got an endorsement with these guys. It's like fucking
crazy.
What's
the company?
Deering Banjo.
Because I remember watching the, like, have you ever seen the Opry Flat and Scruggs show, like the Martha White flower that's in black and white?
Mm-mm.
You've got to see this.
Yeah, he sent it to me.
Earl Scruggs is just shredding.
Dude, he's insane.
Banjo. And what I like about him is he's the kind of guy that if you watch him play, it kind of makes you want to play banjo, right? Like, were you, like, is there someone that you saw, like, were you like a Bela Fleck fan? Or are you not even that into banjo? Maybe
no,
you're just like,
I mean,
it's
I think
branding.
I,
it looks cool.
I'm from
when
Kentucky.
I play it.
I'm from Kentucky. So, like,
that's the banjo
super banjo. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I was super inspired by Winston Marshall from Mumford and Sons.
Mm.
I think just seeing how they were able to still, like, it wasn't just like a shred fest, which is, it's cool to watch, but it's kind of like metal guitar, right? Where it's like, you can only kind of watch that for so long and it's cool. And it's like, oh yeah, it's badass, but it's like doing trick shots in basketball, like versus,
it's like a gimmick.
It's cool
kind
to be
of
a good dunker, but you gotta be actually be able to play the game. So I think the thing that Mumford was able to do and like the Ava brothers is like, they were able to take it and then actually incorporate it into songs that people want to listen to with actual like lyrics and shit. So I think in that way, those guys were like huge influences for sure.
And be very musical. Like I think on the EP you kind of hear that you're not exactly doing claw hammer the entire time. You're kind of
right.
coming
picks
up
the whole it's finger picks the whole way.
It's finger picks, but you're coming up with like these parts that are really fitting the song, right? Like I feel like you were sitting down sort of thinking about these parts that you were gonna play.
Yeah, for sure.
On this, right? Wait, and then Chris, you're from Texas.
Texas.
And did you grew up what, playing guitar or?
I mean, not really. I think I picked up the guitar to like impress a girl, probably.
And you realize that doesn't work, right?
It doesn't.
It doesn't work.
It was the worst wingman of all time.
Should have picked banjo.
Yeah.
Should have picked banjo, yeah.
So, yeah, I think I know about four chords, and I make it work. I always look at George Strait and the way he played guitar, and it wasn't super elaborate, so that's kind of my model for acoustic guitar.
I'll be hating on George, man.
If he can do it.
Yeah.
But did you think, like I'm trying to, like, when you picked up the guitar and you go, This didn't work to impress girls, but you must have fallen in love with the guitar to keep doing it, right?
Like, right, and I think, you know, I'm downplaying it, but I think that I wanted to write songs, and that was a way for me to write songs, and so that's originally probably why I picked up the guitar, was to write music.
Did you want to be George Strait, like the King of Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every guy that plays country music in Texas probably wants to be George Strait.
And were you in like honky tonk bands, country bands? Like, did you grow up kind of playing in the high school bands in the garage and yeah. the gym and like, you know, like were you kind of doing the thing and right. like
I think it really I really started going full in on it in college, and I went to school at Texas A&M, so if you don't play country music out there, it's kind of a sin, you know. So I was playing country music there, and I was mostly covers, and I would go to Austin and play up and down 6th Street, you know, those 3-4 hour
that's
the
sets. Place. And you're right. doing car, and that's where you really get your chops
right,
up, right?
Exactly. Because and like, cause you're like playing and you've got like a garage door open behind you and you're having to holler at people trying to get them into the empty bar, you know, and
cause that's how you're going to make your tips.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what tunes would you play? Like X Live in Texas.
Oh yeah. But then, but I would like put my spin. I think where I like really prided myself was I would like take like, you know, Roses by Outkast and
oh,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and like, you know, do like some Sweet Caroline stuff, but like put like my own like, you know, Texas country flavor onto it. So
and when you're doing this, are you thinking, you know, I'm just counting down the days until I get to Nashville?
Not at that time, I don't think. I think I had a dream to end up playing music, but at that time I was also working and making 100 sales calls a day working for a company called Granger at the time. And so
what
I was
is Granger.
It's like they sell like I don't know, it's like the Amazon of like industrial equipment and stuff. It's
and but you were in school. Did you graduate?
Yeah. Okay. This is post. Yeah. This is post college. Sorry.
So you're doing this job, but this is the job. You're like fuck this job.
Right.
You're like I want to make music. Were you thinking that? Did you think I could have a career in music, or were you like I'll work this job and I'll play music on the weekends and that'll be enough?
It was the dream. I think I thought I could do it. I thought I was good enough. I thought I had written enough songs, but no one had heard them. And it wasn't until I wrote a song for my buddy who got married, and I threw that up on Spotify, that somebody out here heard it, because this is a lot of layers to the story. But somebody tweeted out the lyrics to the song that I wrote. It was a song called Last Name. And it got tweeted
what
out.
What was the hook? What was the hook to Last Name? What was the point? I want to change your last name.
I want to be the man. Like, I wouldn't change a thing about you, but I want to be the man to change your last name.
Yeah,
incredible songwriting.
Some Boyz II Men shit.
Yeah. And so it got tweeted out, and then somebody contacted me from here and said, hey, I'd like
Who
to...
Who contacted you from here?
A guy named Sean Pace.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He's like,
I know Sean.
He's the guy. He finds people on the internet. So. Yeah. That's what happened, and then he set me up on some co-rides, and then...
So he contacts you, and he says, what, hey, cool song?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think you've got it.
I like the song, and he name-dropped a couple people that he had worked with.
Oh my God, you know. Sean. You know, Brad Pitt always tells me not to name-drop, but... So he pulls you down to Nashville. Logan, I want to get, like, you know, your backstory too, but was CMA Fest the first time you came to Nashville when you come in? Because this is when you and Logan meet at CMA Fest, right?
At that time, I was a solo artist.
You were a solo artist.
Yeah.
Going, you know.
Just looking for my partner. Just going through life solo.
But you want, oh yeah, but you thought you were going to be a solo artist. That was the idea.
I mean, I think, like I said, mainly it was songwriting for me, but then when Sean contacted me, it was like, it was for artistry and everything. So I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll give this thing a try.
Yeah. Okay, wait. And then Logan, you're growing up like an hour outside Nashville.
Yeah.
Are you like music through and through? Like, did you just grow up playing everything?
I was like, grew up playing sports and shit. So I was like playing basketball.
You were the guy who shoved the artists in the lockers. Like,
I don't know if I was that. I wasn't that cool.
Did you
know?
Have long hair?
That's cool, but no, I didn't have long hair though.
Okay, so the long hair came when you know you start playing music. I'm
yeah.
Saying. Yeah. So yeah. Wait, so when did you like break your leg and had to like?
Yeah. I mean, I tore my calf muscles. That was like the thing that when I started playing guitar and then.
So you, oh wait, Chris nudged him for something.
Yeah,
you gotta talk into the mic.
Sorry.
Come on.
I'm up here now.
We're professionals
it's
here.
It's their first podcast. They have no idea what they're doing.
Sure. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm embarrassed for them.
Sorry.
So you tear your calf muscle in all seriousness. And then, so you thought, did you think you were going to be like an athlete?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to like play a small college. It wasn't like, I wouldn't think I was like going to go to the NBA or anything crazy like that. But
that was the plan.
I wanted to like be a small college basketball player probably.
And then when did you get injured?
My junior year, so I couldn't play my senior year.
And then were you just like...
That's when I taught myself guitar. I mean, I was devastated at the time, but it worked out.
And did you kind of naturally have a good voice? Like, could you just kind of sing and sort of sound good?
I mean, I didn't sing ever. I wasn't like in... Like, I wasn't in bands. I didn't.
I guess,
really
do you sing now? You were doing some harmony.
Yeah, give him a taste of that falsetto.
Yeah,
real quick.
I mean,
give him a little Usher, dude.
Let me hear the falsetto.
Oh, dude.
Chris really
like just in a room with four men.
Chris, come on, dude, let's feel it, dude.
This is it's gonna be
you're gonna feel it in your loins.
Fuck the falsetto. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, dude.
When did you start writing songs? Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to Western Kentucky.
And what did you say?
I was pre-law, which Chris was too. Weirdly
really?
Enough.
So you guys were like, you guys are really smart.
I mean,
yeah.
We're okay.
Humble too. That's what I like about you. I'm just trying to get this, like when do you go music? Okay. I've wanted to be in music my entire life. Okay. There's never been a moment that I didn't want to be in music. It's weird, but I love this about you guys that you sort of found, I guess you kind of got picked up a guitar, but it seems like you came to it maybe a little later in life.
Yeah.
And you're
sure.
making it work, which is incredible. Like, when did you go, you know what? Fuck this law thing.
Yeah.
I want to be the music guy.
So, like, my last year of undergrad, I realized I didn't want to go to law school. My best friend, J.A., was getting ready to go, and I saw everything he was having to do because he was, like, a semester ahead of me because I, like, partied a little bit too hard my first couple of semesters.
Yeah.
So, I saw what he was having to go through, and it looked pretty grueling. So, I was like, it's probably not the vibe for me. So I decided I was going to try to work in sales for like 6 months out of college. And my first like proper like sales trip was to have to drive from basically Nashville to Minneapolis, like just in a car straight by myself. And I was like, fuck this. And it's on that drive that I was like, all right, like I don't know what I have to do to figure out if I'm good enough to do this because I didn't know anyone in the music industry. I didn't know what was going on. I was like 2015. And so when I got on that drive back, I was like, when I get home, I'm like emailing everyone I can. I'm cold calling. I'm just going to send out. I'd never been in a studio. I'd never done anything. I just had like myself singing on my iPhone, on my guitar. That's how like naive I was to how any of this worked. And I think that like, had I not been that naive, I probably just would have not done it because I think if I would have known like the layers of this shit, like I'd have just been like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing? You know, but just ignorance is bliss. So I'm just like sending that shit out everywhere. And then it just, you know, there were some producers in LA that were like, oh yeah, this is kind of tight or whatever. So
you would just find producers
like
in LA and you would just find them on what? How'd you find their emails?
Googling. I was just hustling.
So were you like
Twitter?
Yeah. Or I'd be looking at credits on my favorite albums.
Like that. Yeah. And I'd see if they have an Instagram. And if they have an Instagram, like, do they have their management's contact or do they have like their emails? And so then I just like, I had a buddy that had like, I dropped out of college and moved to LA. So I was like, I had a place to stay, like a couch or whatever, but God knows what had happened on before I got there. Cause that thing had been in there forever. Oh, it's like grosses me out thinking about it. But so I would like go there and like for, you know, 2 weeks at a time, you know, I would work for 2 weeks. Like luckily my dad,
to LA.
Yeah.
Why didn't you think Nashville? Were you playing kind of rootsy Americana country music at the time?
I mean, I don't even know what it was. It was definitely a little more like, it was more singer-songwritery folk, probably early Ed Sheeran-y kind of stuff like that.
But it's interesting that you were kind of thinking across the country versus an hour away is Nashville right?
I guess like I didn't think that, like back to the naive thing is like, I didn't think that like my voice was country enough to be in Nashville. So I was more like, even though I'm like from the country and, you know, but like, I didn't think that like my
singing
voice wasn't country enough to be here. So I was like, well, I'll just go to LA, you know? And so I went there for, you know, I'd go there for 2 weeks at a time, write songs, do sessions, and then fly back here. And then after like 3-4 times doing that, I was like, damn, this is like a lot of work. Like every 2 weeks, like when I could literally just,
how are you paying for that?
Wake up, drive.
Yeah,
I would like work. No, I just like took a part-time job and I would work for like, and like I knew the owner. So like he knew what I was like trying to do. So, he would let me like graciously let me work like 2 weeks, make money, go out there, spend it on, you know, whatever, probably drinking and whatever else, and then write songs and then come back.
What do your parents say? Are they supporting this?
Very supportive.
Very supportive. They're like dreams. Follow them.
Yeah. And my brother is an artist as well. He lives in LA and he's got a record deal. So he's like there.
Who's your brother?
His name's Mills. He's like a pop artist. He signed to RCA.
That's cool that you guys both do that, right?
Yeah.
Was he always the music guy growing up?
I got him into it. He's like 9 years younger than me, so.
Like, how old are you? I'm
30. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you both 30?
No. No, he's Chris younger. He's a baby.
How old are you?
28.
Oh, geez, it's a baby. But that's cool that were you able to give him advice, or because you both got into it at kind of a similar time?
Yeah, I got into it like before he did. Like I got him into like working, like producing his own stuff in Logic and like working on stuff like that. So then
you realize this LA thing, it's too far, it's not working out. So you moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
5 years ago, And then you come to Nashville because at some point you got to realize I got to get to Nashville, right? If I really want to do this, I got to get to Nashville.
Right.
You know, Sean starts bringing you here, starts setting you up on sessions. He's name dropping like crazy. And I love you, Sean, if you listen to this. I'm just joking. And then you guys meet at a CMA Fest writers camp. Is what I've been told Christy at the label. Is that not true?
We should call her.
It's not completely true.
Give me the story. How do you two meet?
So I was here for about 10 months in Nashville, and I got a publishing deal with this guy named Joe Fisher, who's like a music industry veteran. Great dude. I signed with him and Ross Copperman and Keith Urban. They signed me and this other guy.
Is that insane?
Insane.
That the biggest people in town are coming after you, and do you kind of look at this was 5 years ago?
This is summer of 2016.
And do you just feel like you know, people have been here longer than me? People have been like, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's
like,
insane.
Right? And what do you think they saw in you? Just this natural,
probably a rawness.
This rawness and this just like and you were gonna do it. Like you had this thing in your eye that was like,
I mean, it was probably ignorance. I mean, not ignorance. I don't think I was like an idiot or anything, but I think that like they were. I think that they saw a seed of something in me that they thought could grow into something. And I think that like it was different than a lot of other things in town probably.
Yeah. So you signed this crazy publishing deal and then what? I'm trying to figure out how you guys meet.
All the while I'm like writing songs, not getting signed by Keith Urban and Ross Copperman. I'm like, my first week here was an absolute mess.
Tell me what defines a mess. You moved here.
I'd only been writing songs by myself. So like I walked in and I had to write with a guy named Michael Heaney, who probably swore me off the day that we wrote. So he probably, if you brought this up to him, wouldn't remember. But I'm sitting there and like, you know, I didn't know that you like needed titles or anything. So he walks in and he's like, hey, like, you know, you got any titles? And I'm like, I don't, man. Like, and so
he's like, last name, change the change the last name.
So I'm like digging through my phone, like find this thing. And I think the song was called Lie to Me. Really like, I don't know, something like, even if you don't love me, lie to me. Like, I think that's probably been written about 1,000 times. So I write in, like, I try to start writing this song and he just walks out of the room. And I'm like in this room by myself for about 2 hours. And I think he's smoking cigarettes, asking people how he can, like, if he can just leave. He comes back and the whole song's like basically written. So I was like, well, this is great. Lay down the demo, and my whole week just kind of just goes like, I'm just not writing good songs. So I go back to Texas and I kind of just get my thoughts together. Like, is this, am I even cut out for this? And then
are your parents saying? Are they being supportive?
My dad was like, he played music. He was a bass player. So he kind of understood it. And, I think they were thinking I made a huge mistake because like, I just got like a promotion at my job. But like I figured, what the heck? So I went back to Texas and kind of like gathered my thoughts. I was like, well, I know what I need is I need like titles and like ideas so I could, you know, do better the next time around. So I come back to town, and then this time I was like here to stay. And so I did it, and, you know, just through networking and writing with people, made enough impressions, I guess, that got me all the way to one day Joe Fisher reached out to Sean, because I still wasn't published at the time. So like I didn't have anyone but Sean Pace representing me at that time. And so Joe Fisher reached out to Sean, asked if I'd like to write with a guy named Logan Turner. And this was about, I mean, this is fast forwarding, but it's probably a year and a half into my
he's setting you up with a ton of people. He's throwing names at you every week. Logan Turner's just another name.
Right.
It wasn't like anything. He didn't think it was going to be special. Or he wasn't going to waste your time, but it wasn't supposed to be your partner.
Right. But then I looked him up on the internet. I saw his picture and I was like, I definitely, I got it right with this guy, you know?
Because he was super hot.
Yes. Yeah, like, just what? Super. He had a backwards hat on. It was just great. The hair was flowing. I was like, God damn. So we went to the right, and then, yeah, we hit it off pretty good. We wrote this song called Handmade, which ended up making our first EP that we put out in like 2018, which was probably the reason why we got a record deal. Which is kind of
why
cool.
Do you guys connect like musically, or were you just, did you have the same influences, or you just easy conversation, or did
probably a little bit of all of it,
complete
probably,
each other? Like, what did you think was the, and do you think like you're obviously the vocalist? Was that defined early on?
Right, but that's a good question, because I think like I had been doing the solo thing for so long, and I knew what my voice was capable of doing on a record. And then when I went to this right, I laid my vocal, and he laid this falsetto that he's a little shy to share.
In a room full of guys that were all just sitting here,
it's okay,
wanting me to sing falsetto. It's fine.
But he,
we'll hear it at some point.
But he laid this.
I'll get it out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
He laid this over my vocal on this song, Handmade, and it kind of just brought a new life, breathed a new life into what I was doing and struggling to find like what set me apart from every other artist in town, you know. So
he gave you that little bit. You felt that he gave you an edge, or he made you better.
Right, exactly.
Or, yeah, yeah. Together.
Just, yeah.
And then was there a conversation like, hey, maybe we should be a duo?
Yeah. And that's probably where you're getting this CMA Fest thing from.
Yeah. Yes.
But it wasn't a writer's camp.
That's literally what it says in the thing. So so what was it? At CMA Fest, were you guys like playing CMA Fest or
no?
No, we were actually watching Dan and Shay, I think, or Blake Shelton.
Okay.
It's one of those. I mean, not that they're like similar, but I mean, it's kind of hard. I can't remember. I mean, they're so similar. they both played that night. I remember that.
Yeah. And somewhere, did you guys just turn to each other and like,
we're kind of,
like,
well, he asked me, he was like, you know, if you, he's like, would you want to like, you know, like,
try
would you want to join? Yeah. Would you want to like do this together? And I was like, oh, shit, I mean, I just got married, so I was like, I have to ask my wife.
Yeah.
She was super sweet about it and said yes, obviously. And then like 2 weeks later, I was on a writing trip in Amsterdam, and it was like obviously the time difference. And Sean Pace called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning there. And I'm like, I had my jet lagged as hell, and like phone's ringing, pick it up. He's like, hey man, you want to be in Bear?
You want to be a what?
In you Bear. Want to be in Bear, yeah.
In Bear.
Yeah.
So it was already named.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the county.
Like
he's
three steps.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. He's from Bear County.
You're from Bear, Texas. This right. I know.
Yeah. Which encompasses a lot, but like Helotes, Texas is the city.
And you would decide this duo is going to be called Bear.
Right. Well, because when I put on this is a long story, dude, but I'm going to try to like make it as short as possible. But
go.
When I put the song on the internet, there was two guys that I was playing with at the time, like playing music with. And we just took some pictures, put it up on like Spotify as like, this is how you can go see the music. So there was two other guys from back home that were in it. But then I moved to town by myself. So it's there's a lot of layers, but it was called Bear. So Bear stuck because everyone started calling me Bear or Bexar, whatever you prefer.
And it's a lot cooler than the county I'm from. So which is Warren.
Right.
Bear is cool.
And it's got this thing, like, and then especially like once you know that it's Bear and not Bexar, you usually don't forget it, you know.
And it's
or
cool.
You'll still call me Bexar, which whatever.
And it's cool that when you do get it, you kind of feel like you're in the club,
right? Exactly.
Right, and then you're in, you're a fan,
which is like was the idea from the beginning. I think like once we start, like if we were going to keep the name, like that was the thing. Like all the bands that we liked, there was always like this communal feel to it, and that's kind of what you get with this.
I think fans really relate to that. And right. There's less bands in country music. There's
Absolutely.
Hardly any.
Right.
There's a handful. So then when do you guys sign with Warner?
Like,
hold on 1 second. Yeah, I just asked that, but I want to ask something else.
Yeah.
How do you guys meet Scott McGee?
Oh.
Through our wonderful attorney, Kent Marcus.
And he says what? You go meet this guy.
So we were at a point where we were getting label attention and taking meetings, but we had no manager really. So it was like, okay, that's probably not normal. So then Kent, our attorney, was like, okay, like, let's start setting you guys up with some management meetings. And he was like probably the first second guy we met with. And it was just, you know, it was one of those things where it just felt like it was meant to be, you know. We just like felt like you were meeting like someone from your family that you hadn't seen in a long time, you know.
And we had no idea what to expect. Like we didn't really...
And what,
it's kind of like us, like you said, walking into this, we couldn't really dig much up on Scott. We knew the name, obviously, but like we were like, we didn't really know. And like we kind of like went into it blindly, walk up, the building's like outdated, you know, looks like it's stuck in the early 2000s. And we're like, what's this going to be like? And then just completely won us over, dude. Like Scott, I know you know Scott, so he
does that.
Oh, He's
got that effect on
insane,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he grows on you like a fungus.
Charming guy.
He's No, but really charming.
Yeah.
And did you kind of get a sense of like everything he's done and sort of where he's been, and you walk in and you see everything on the walls?
Yeah,
and
it's right. Like, he played for the fucking Chicago Bears, man. It's like,
but actually,
like,
I didn't insane. Even know that.
Yeah.
But that's like him. That's what we loved about him, is that like he is that like humble person that like he's not like flaunting that around everywhere. And it's not until you like he opens his doors to you that you really know like what he's done. And then like, yeah, what he's done for us has been awesome. Yeah.
I love that little, and he's got the Pez dispensers in the office.
Yeah. Which that was the number one selling.
So wait, so and then does he kind of guide you through the label deals?
For
and,
sure.
And how does and does he and how does the Warner one come onto the table, or how do you guys end up signing with Warner?
So I'll just tell you the funny story. The funny.
Yeah, we'll just go in.
Whatever. Just go all in. So we were actually in we were in deep talks with another label.
It'll remain another label.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just
keep it as another label. And somehow Rohan from Warner got my phone number, which I still have not asked him how he got it. I just like get a text like, "Hey man, this is Rohan from Warner. I hear you guys are like taking meetings. Would you like to come in for a meeting?" And Chris and I were like, being that we didn't have a manager, we're like, "Oh, like, should we go? Like, I don't know. You know, are we going to get in trouble?"
Like, isn't that kind of like, don't you love when you get like an email or a text or a call from someone that you have no idea is going to reach out to you, and then they present what is potentially a life changing opportunity? It doesn't happen often, but every now and then something like that happens.
Right.
And you get really excited about it, right? Like, it's like the best feeling in the world. Like, is that kind of what this was? Like, were you like, holy shit?
But it was this weird excitement because
we had already been kind of, we were already down the road with a different label.
And like, and so when we say down the road, like a year plus
of negotiations.
With another label.
So you feel like you kind of owe this label something. This,
right.
You don't know if this is even ethical.
Right. Yeah. So,
but we didn't have anyone to tell us otherwise. So we were like,
So we're like, all right, like we being at that point, we were sort of managing ourselves. We're like, all right, like, let's just go in and we'll just meet with them and see what they have to say. We won't tell anybody we're going. We'll just go. So like Chris and I just kind of go rogue, drive over to the Warner building, walk in there. Rohan pours us a couple of shots of Jack Daniels.
I love Ron.
He's the best, man.
And he's another guy that's just got a crazy history of what he's done in the music industry.
You can see what we're attracted to.
I get it.
Craziness,
you're very superficial people. That's not the right word. You're just attracted to, you know, big. Never mind. And then what happens? You just
so we go in, and then it was like it was him, Jason, and Stephanie, I think.
Yeah,
and so Chris was out of town. Chris Lacey was out of town, so we went in there and just played for them acoustic. This is in like October of. Probably 2018. And then, no, this is probably like January of 2018. Because I remember he texted me in October and I kind of like brushed it off till January, to where I was like, okay, like, I've got to respond to this guy. I can't just like tell him we can't come in there anymore. You know,
wait, like 3 months?
To go in there, yeah, physically.
Oh, but you texted him.
We were texting. I didn't like just like not respond. I mean, okay, I was like, hey, man, we're busy.
Finally,
we're like, all right, we got to go in there. So we went in, and then that summer, so like probably 6 months after that, when we're about to sign our deal with the other label, Chris Lacey got wind of it through
Scott.
And then she's like, they have to come back in. They have to play for Espo. We went in and played for them. And then they offered us a record deal, like right there.
Poached.
Yep.
It took them 30 seconds.
Yeah.
What it took this other label a year and a half to accomplish. How great, by the way, is Espo's office?
It's the best office on the row. I mean, it was one of the most like... It felt like, I think it's as close to like what you would feel like a movie scene would be of that situation happening. You know, if like
they were just like, no, you're not going over here.
Yeah.
You're coming here.
And then like also us not really, like we basically got signed off of what was talent at that point, because we hadn't played any shows. We didn't have like this rabid fan base. We hadn't done all that stuff that most people do now to get a record deal. We just literally went in there with one guitar, the two of us. We played them 3 songs and they offered us a record deal. So like that was very old school way of, I think, getting a record deal. And in the way
did you play?
We played Again. We played a song called Mexico that's going to be on the EP.
Can we hear like a verse chorus? Can we do a little verse chorus
Again?
Yeah. Let's do it. So to set the scene.
Yeah.
So you come in, you're in Espo's office with Rohan and Lacey.
And Espo.
Well,
Espo was there the second time we went back. So we actually went in there twice. Espo wasn't there the first time. But
and you're thinking...
Scott Hendricks
this other label is taking a year and a half to sign us. It's too long.
Right.
Let's see if we can maybe screw them over.
We're both broke.
We're both broke. We need the advance. And this is all we have are these songs to our name. That's all we have.
Oh, yeah. Songs are currency.
And we're going to play them.
Way to set the scene, dude.
We're going to play them like it's all our life depends on. Okay, here we go. We're going to do a little verse chorus.
I fell asleep and had a dream you and me were 17 again. Tore up our feet on gravel streets, smoking weed and getting drunk with our friends. Stealing signs with your name in mind too, in rearview pine from that car wash we drive through. I passed the time waiting for midnight to take me home. Baby, I'd give it all for a moment. Tattoo your name on my skin. Start it all over to watch it all in. Cause the truth is I'd do it again. I'd do it all again.
You just want verse chorus.
I think Chris was the only guy who listened to what I said. Everybody else was, whoa.
I follow the rules, dude.
My brain just went into default.
Yeah. I was gonna let it go though because I was into it. I was like, oh, this is falling our way. So here we go. We grab it. Yeah. By the way, I love this song, and this is one of the songs that I think the first time I heard it, you kind of think that like you kind of think you've heard it after you've like you when the first time you hear it, you feel like you've heard it before. Like it's one of those songs that just sounds very familiar. In a really good way.
Thanks.
It just has that chorus, and when the band, and you do a little claw hammer there, you get a little chopsy there, right?
A little chopsy, a little bit.
That, so you play, I love it, you play the song, and they're like, done, we're signing the band. And then what happens? They put you in the studio, they give you the advance.
Right? Yep.
You're able to eat again.
And then we went to Mexico and spent all of it.
Is that true?
No, I'm just kidding. I wish it was.
And then you're, and now, and how long ago? This is like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, this would have been like, September of 2019.
I'm gonna so get
this
some is more.
And by the way,
I'm gonna get some more to drink real quick.
What?
Okay?
You're
get some more tequila, dude.
You're gonna kill the vibe.
Okay, just keep going.
Are you kidding me? This is. All right. No, whatever you need. We need to get you. I'm here for you.
Thanks.
You've totally messed up my train of thought.
We were in Mexico spending all our money. That's where we were.
But by the way, you had only been here a year, so this is insane for you.
Yeah.
And now you've got a major label deal. All of a sudden, you don't look crazy to your parents.
It was like a year and a half. That's
year and a half.
Yeah.
You've got the label deal.
Thank you, sir.
And now you guys are off to the races.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at least we thought.
In theory.
Yeah. At least we thought we were off to the race. But this then, was we didn't know that the pandemic was going to come.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Did you know?
What'd you say?
Did you know?
I did not know. And I know a lot. Let me ask you this because, look, there's so much I want to talk about. I feel like we're running out of time, and I have to talk about this Keith Urban tour. So I'm kind of jumping around a little bit.
No, it's all good.
So you guys are going on tour next month. You're doing the Vegas dates, the residency.
The residency.
First of all, this was clearly brought to the table by Logan. I'm kind of curious what Chris contributes to, if he does at all.
I don't ever contribute much.
So
I drink.
But this is really cool. Have you guys played a show of this size before?
No.
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 So how do you prep for this? Because full band, there's some really great full band performances of you guys online, and the band sounds great, especially with this guy playing guitar.
Absolutely.
It really sounds great.
Yeah, thank you.
But is that what we're going to see on these Keith Urban dates?
Yeah. I think we do have like a pretty decent schedule leading up to that, so we do have like some time to, you know, we've had three shows over the last like month, and then we have another two or three scheduled as of now before Vegas. We've been out with the Muscadine Bloodline guys who are some good
friends.
That's right. And they've been gracious enough to have us out. So I think we're up in Ohio at the end of August, and we got a date up in Montana festival. So we have some things to kind of get us ready, but I think for those dates specifically, it's just going to be about like bringing as much energy as we can, you know? And
I think that's it, right? It's just bring the energy
for sure.
And are you going to stay in Vegas for the entire run?
10 days.
10 days in Vegas.
Wish us luck.
Scary.
Yeah.
Which is, and Keith's camp is sober, so they're not going to be, I'm curious if they're going to be, are you guys going to go out every night and party in Vegas? Is that the plan?
Definitely not, but.
Well, you say that now.
I mean, we have a show to put on. We have to work, so.
This is going to be so fun. Have you ever been this excited for something? I mean, this is going to be unbelievable.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, super excited. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think that you can't even script like a story, you know, better than this, you know, of just how we both kind of got to town and then it just, the ball's been rolling and then to have this kind of coming out of the pandemic is like a huge blessing for sure.
Is your girlfriend going to come out?
My wife.
Your wife? Yeah. Is your wife going to come out?
She's definitely coming. She's coming the whole time.
Yeah, she's not going to leave you in Vegas for 10 days. Are you single? Chris, who are you seeing?
I'm single.
You're single?
I'm going to find...
Ladies, Chris is single.
He's single.
If anybody wants to DM
him. Go to Vegas.
Tell me about this new video. By the way, I was on the set when you guys shot this new video that just came out. And I love being on this. I just thought this seemed like such a cool idea and such a cool concept.
Yeah.
You're in the storage unit. I'll cut that in. who comes up with this? How do you shoot this?
Me and Scott, we just kind of, we'll like spend two to three hours on the phone just like trying to figure out like where we wanted to go, this one especially. And I think it was just a matter of like figuring out how we could incorporate these like little vignettes about like what are these like little things in life that really matter. The song is just about that, you know, these simple things in life that can make you happy. We're usually chasing some other thing, but so we got together, got our heads together, came up with this simple idea, and then we took it to the label, kind of told them what we wanted, and then they went out and got a wonderful person in Quentin Cook, who just absolutely crushed our kind of small vision. I want to give him the most credit for really.
I love Quentin. He does
amazing, man.
If you haven't seen this video, you have to go watch it, because I just think what they did with him, I just think it was such a cool creative idea to be opening these gates and to have these scenes happening and to see you guys walking. I just thought it was a really cool idea, and I think you guys pulled it off. And this Key of Life music video, it's out now. The new EP, Pronounced Bear, is coming up. First of all, was this to clear up any confusion? Was there any confusion as to how, like, you people were saying the name wrong, so you said, let's put this out, maybe inspired by Lynyrd Skynyrd. They had, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. Anything here? Like, why Pronounced Bear? We had to clear this up, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, it's. I mean, even when I saw Chris's name on my schedule for the first time, because, like, you know, when you have a publisher, they use your iCalendar to put your rights in your phone. So like it said, Chris Ryan Bexar. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And it's just because like, obviously, you know, that's what it sounds like it's going to be, you know, you don't know that the X is silent. I mean, I think you said pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, Hot Country Nights have the K is silent. And now we have Pronounced Bear. B-E-A-R.
Guys, like I said, this record, I don't think this is going to be out by the time this drops, but I was listening to it this morning. I love this record. I think this record has a little, especially on the first track, which is that Begin the first track? Or Again? What's
Again?
Again
is the first one.
Again is the first track. And I thought that it almost has, you can hear a little bit of a Keith Urban influence, which I think is going to be awesome opening up for him. But there's a little bit of that Mumford thing. There's a little bit of just contemporary country, but there's a real kind of like authentic sort of, you know, Tennessee Mountains vibe that I think Logan brings to it, but a real country vibe that maybe Chris is bringing to it growing up in Texas. You really kind of hear all these things. I think it's a great project. Key to Life, seriously, I was listening to that song and I thought that was, I just caught my eye listening to it like three times in a row. I couldn't stop listening to it. I love this project. What have we left out here? What have we not covered?
I think we've covered a lot of bases.
Do you feel like, because I had asked you about Earl Scruggs on the banjo, and you had said, not yet, like, I'm not that good yet. But do you still feel like, are you constantly trying to get better at the banjo?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you sound great on the banjo.
Thanks, man. But you... I mean, I can definitely play some Earl songs and play some stuff like that. I mean, I don't necessarily know that I'd want to be, like, playing with Steve Martin on Jimmy Fallon or anything like that, but not yet anyway. But, like, it is something that, like, I want to bring that back to the forefront. You know, like, yeah. I think that, like, there's a spot for it, and people, it evokes like such an emotion people when they see it live, you know, like it just, something about the way that that thing cuts through the high end of, you know, a performance. It just, you know, it does evoke emotion. So I, constantly trying to get better. And yeah, I mean, I see what it seeing it live is like the best, because people aren't, especially like in modern country, it's not really like as prominent as it once was.
Yeah.
So now, like, when people see it, it's like, I'm not playing the bullshit. No, not whatever. The bullshit six string guitar banjo. Like, this is
this is a real
this
banjo.
This is a five string.
By the way, Keith,
like,
Urban plays the six string banjo.
He does.
He plays it really well.
He
just plays everything amazing because he's a genius. Yeah. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry,
I'm sure he can actually play the five string.
I bet he could too.
100%.
But that's what I was saying.
I like it is important to me to stay with the roots of this thing and like play it the way I think it was intended to be played, and like but bring it to the forefront in a modern way. That's like my goal.
That's what I loved about this record, is that I think in a lot of contemporary country, if you hear the banjo, it's kind of a texture. It's something like
exactly
on the back.
Yeah.
But you really do bring it forward, and you're playing lead banjo on this. In mm-hmm. my mind, there are parts that are key to the song that you're playing on the banjo, and I think it brings a great texture, and it does set the mood. It just puts you in a space that I think is very cool, and instantly, you know, creates a little bit of an energy and a little bit of a different buzz, right? Chris, my man. Are you always trying to get better at guitar?
I
fire ass voice, man.
I
do work on it, because I do think it's important to the full scope of what we do. It's very a lot of the songs that we do are very rhythmic, so like I am practicing, but you know, these guys hold it down, man. Like I'm trying to do my thing and entertain the crowd, and yeah, so.
This is first. Have you guys done any shows yet? Opening up for you've done some shows. You were just on the road, right? Who were you out on the road with?
We were out with Muscadine. Yeah.
Muscadine. Do you see, like, are you kind of learning things? Like, every time you go out, are you trying some things, seeing what works for the crowd?
Right.
What's gonna, you know, like, do you say things like, "Hey, all you in the back," like, are you doing stuff like that? Like, I see you out there. You know, like, what's your, like, are you sort of experimenting and trying to figure out like what works, what's gonna resonate for me? Yeah, as a front man.
I think always looking out for things like that. But like, man, our music, we really try to put that at the front of our show. Like we try to
music first.
Right. I mean, all the bands that we like and stuff, like Kings, you go watch a King show, you go watch a Chris Stapleton show, you go watch a Mumford and Sons show. It's music first. And like, so I think we try to really grab the energy from that place. So
yeah. I mean, Zanies is on 8th if anybody wants to go see like a stand-up comedy show.
We'll see Bear at Zanies. And this guy, tell me your name again, guitar player.
Alex,
holding it down.
Oh, yes.
Really great, especially when he was playing there. He was shredding.
Thank you.
I sounding great. You've got that thing that a good guitar player has.
A guitar? Fingers?
Fingers. I'm not joking. Sometimes, like, I'm a guitar player, but I'm not. Like, I don't play that often. I sound like someone who doesn't play that often. Like, you just have that thing where it just sounds like a record. When you were kind of shredding there, like I was listening to a record.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, you know what you're doing. These guys are lost, but this but Alex is holding
it
down.
I make sure that they know what's up, that they're
he's
anchored.
The man.
Yeah. No, yeah. Guys, I'm really a big fan. I really hope I can see you guys live at some point.
Coming to Vegas, dude.
Maybe I'll come out to Vegas with Scott. That'd be wild.
Come on.
I would love to see it, though, because I've just seen a couple things on YouTube that I think are killer of you guys playing live. I love seeing the banjo. Chris, you sound great singing, man.
Thank you, man.
And you sound great on guitar, too. I was watching the video of Day One, and I'm assuming that's you playing acoustic on that, because I was like, the acoustic sounds great on it and super forward in the mix. You can really hear it.
Thanks, man. They really trust me when it comes to guitar.
No, you really lay, and I mean, you're you know, you're holding rhythm, but I just thought it sounded really good.
Thank you.
It's mixed forward, so whoever was mixing it,
yeah, it's definitely the mixer,
thought it sounded good. Yeah. and it should be heard. So guys, I'm really big fans. Should we take it out one more song?
Yeah,
sure.
Should we play something that maybe hasn't heard? Or
yeah, I'm down for it. What do you think?
Either Battle Scar or Everybody Sleeping.
Dude, Battle Scar.
Yeah.
Hold on. Tell me, what is Battle Scar? Give me a little backstory.
All right. I think during the pandemic, we, instead of making TikTok videos and stuff, we kind of wanted to write some songs. So this is just one of the songs. We wrote it with Martin Johnson and Brandon Paddock. Martin Johnson on
The Night Game and Boys Like Girls.
Probably
Genius.
Yeah. Genius.
Absolute. Savant. Hey,
let me ask you this also. So this EP was produced in together with Luke Laird and
Ross.
And Ross. Was it just Ross?
Ross and Luke.
Ross and Luke together. How did that partnership come together for this project? Like, did one come on and bring the other, or did you reach out together? How do you pull them both in?
No, it was song by song.
Song by song.
Yeah, yeah. So Luke did Key to Life, and then Ross did the rest.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. And those guys are super geniuses.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you, like, does Ross bring a different element to it than Luke does musicality-wise, or is there...
I think they each have their own, you know, like, sonic palette, and I think that that's, like, what makes each song kind of, like, individual and special. Like, Luke did Key to Life, and then I think I just said that, and Ross did the rest, but I think that that's what's so cool about all the producers in this town is that they're all so talented and so unique, and they each have their own kind of, like, sonic thumbprint that they can put on the song, and it's just unique to them.
And how does it, like, I guess they wrote a lot of these songs, so it makes sense, but do you sit in, were you doing pre-production with them, or were you just getting the musicians in the studio?
We went in with Ross and did, sorry to cut you off, with Ross and did the five, right? And then in the studio, it's just, this was 2019, so it's like a blur now at this point, because it's been 2 years
on this record.
But we did that at Ocean Way, and then Luke actually, the day after they wrote it, I think, went in and like tracked everything with a band, like on the demo,
which was crazy.
Yeah,
because so, like, the demo came back sound like the record.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot different than from the demo to the final product, because like he went in and we weren't even actually there when he did the track.
No, I mean that. Like we got it, we back went in, and it sounded like it was ready to go to radio, and it was crazy because like I don't know if you have you ever been to Luke's studio.
I know I. Not well. I've been to the Creative Nation offices on the row. Is that where it is? Is that the studio? Yeah.
But he's got like this 58 that's got like a WWE like announcer mic type thing, and that's what I sang that song through, thinking like this is not gonna, you know. And then that's the vocal we kept. Dude, that's crazy. There was a one take. That's on, vocal. Yeah.
Isn't it just crazy though? I mean, you guys work. I mean, clearly the best doesn't work with people that they don't believe in or that they don't think are also the best. But you guys are working with the best in town. And they're trusting you they think you're worth investing in or putting time in. Like, isn't that just incredible? Or it's got to be such a cool feeling, right?
It's insane, for sure. Yeah,
it's definitely. I mean, I can't thank these guys enough. Like they elevated our music in a way that we never could have, just he and I. So yeah, forever grateful to this. Like Nashville community is like, it really is that a small, like strong family, and they definitely like. You can take chances on young guys like he and I, and yeah, it's great. I think we've put together a good product, and we're excited for everybody to hear it.
Do you take away, like, are you constantly learning from them? Are they kind of just moving knobs quickly and getting it done, or do they kind of show you some things? Like, when you go into the studio with Luke Laird, you come out learning a thing or two?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I moved here to, like, with aspirations of being a writer-producer. Like, I didn't have aspirations of being an artist, really, so... every time I'm in with those guys, I try to like soak up as much as I can.
And I think that's the great thing is that they're actually friends, you know, they become friends and like they nurture that relationship other than, like you said, just moving along once you work with them once. So that's what's great about this town for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we're going to hear, what's the song now that we're going to hear right now?
This is probably a little taste of the full length album. This isn't on the EP. This is going to be an unreleased song as of now. So you're getting a real super exclusive look. The song's called Battle Scar.
This is called Battle. And who do we write this with?
Martin Johnson and Brandon.
Oh, Madigan. You said this. Right. Okay. I'm excited for this because I love what Martin Johnson writes in the country space. Big time writer. Now, here's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture you're at Caesar's Palace about to see Keith Urban. The lights go off. Out walks these two guys on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, Bear. The crowd goes wild.
Whoa.
And here is Battle Scars. Here we go.
One, two, three, four. Ooh, 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 ooh. I've had a couple of falls to remember. Couple of wounds that I'll take to my grave. You used to tell me forever and ever. I never thought that we'd end up this way. Every time I hear you, hear Springsteen, I'm back in that Wrangler out parked by the lake, wrapped in a blanket forever. We're 18. Youth has a habit of slipping away. Every time I get to drinking when I've had a few, maybe after all this time I should be over you. I wonder if the leaves are changing colors where you are, near or far. I still keep you on my heart like a battle scar. Ooh, 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 ooh. You were the soundtrack of senior September. I burned on a mixtape you left in my car. When I start drinking, I can't help remember that drugstore perfume and the beat of your heart. Maybe I'm just stuck in places where I don't belong. And lately I'm just too strung out to try and carry on. I wonder if the leaves are changing colors where you are, near or far. I still keep you on my heart like a battle scar. Ooh, 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 ooh. You had a smile that could melt any winter. I had a will that could bend you to break. You were a saint till I made you a sinner. Love was a lifeboat just caught in the way. It's funny how this time of year I can't control my heart. It's funny this town looks the same but feels so torn apart. I wonder if the leaves are changing colors where you are, near or far. I still keep you on my heart like a battle scar.
Bear live in the studio. Guys, so good.
Thanks,
Alex, you really had some licks there in that
tasty
one.
Tasty licks.
You got a couple licks
the
there.
Tasties, dude.
Logan on the harms.
Yeah.
Love the harms. Was that a little falsetto? We got a little falsetto.
Yeah, a little falsetto taste.
A little false there. Chris laying down the vocals, rhythm guitar.
Out of tune guitar.
Out of tune guitar. Barrett, thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking
Zach,
the time.
Thank you so much, man.
Right before you could have been anywhere in the world right now. They're about to go out open for Keith Urban for 10 dates. The new EP pronounced Bear. The music video is out now. Key to Life. Seriously, though.
Dude, thanks, man.
I'm really a big fan. I'm not joking. The videos that I've seen are great. The live things I've seen online, I really love. And like I said, I was sent the EP this morning. I was listening to it. And I loved hearing the banjo. I love the harms. I love hearing Chris sing. I mean, I think these songs are really great. So I'm excited for everyone else to hear it. I'm excited to see these Keith Urban dates, see how they come out. Big things coming for Bear. Way better than Seaforth. No, I'm going to cut that out. I'm not playing that.
Well, dude, we do want to try to get them on Rumble on the Road, dude.
Well, they said there was a little bit of a rivalry. They what? Actually said this.
Oh.
They said there was a little bit of a playful rivalry.
Well,
here.
Yeah, we had some fun with it.
I think you guys should amplify this.
I think it'd be great.
I think it'd be funny.
We do it for the people.
And
dude.
Then I think you guys could co-headline a show together.
Right, I think so too. Yeah, I think
start a super group
like a charity. You could do a charity thing for St. Jude or whatever. You could do this big feud. I don't know. Co-headline a show. I'll MC it, and I'll promote. I'll put it on.
It'd be great.
I think we do this.
We definitely
can we
need
do
to.
This.
Absolutely,
100%.
We are in.
I think it's a no-brainer.
I want to do. We can like maybe pre-show do like an is it shit.
Yeah, we'll
join.
Let us jump on that.
I think I want to talk to Scott on my way out. I'm going to talk to Scott, and I want to see if we can set this up. Yeah, how great would that be? How fun would that be?
It'd be a blast.
It'd be a blast.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it, dude.
Bear in the studio, Logan and Chris. Guys, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, man.
Pronounced Bear. Check out the EP. Check out the new music video. And I think we've done it. And follow these guys on Instagram.
Yeah, come on. At Bear.
At Bear.
B-E-X-A-R.
With an X in the middle.
And Alex, too. Are you single, Alex?
I'm not.
Oh, he's ladies, ooh. He's taken.
Sorry yeah. to
he's taken.
Break some hearts.
No, that's great. That's great. here we go. We're wrapping up. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Zach.
Dude,
thanks,
talk
man.
To y'all later.
Awesome.
There you have it. Bear on the podcast. Really fun, guys. Really love talking with them. Love the new music. By the way, Key to Life music video out now. Check it out on YouTube. Really fun video. Really cool concept. Really fun to watch. And Pronounced Bear, their new EP, is out September 3rd. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. Really, really great project. Big things coming for these guys. Opening up for Keith Urban. Love Bear. Big, big fans. Thanks for coming on the show. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman. And our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.